We're going to continue with Pastor Ray's series on teamwork, and we're going to talk tonight about the principle of compassion. Teamwork that makes the dream work requires teammates to have compassion. Now, as I was putting this together, you know, I realized that compassion, it's easy to have compassion for our family members, for a friend, even sometimes for an acquaintance. But generally, the compassion that Jesus had for everybody, it's beyond, for the most part, what we normally do. And trying to put this together and finding a text or a story or something to really elaborate on, I rewrote this 3 times just today. Never mind this week how many times I hit the delete button and backspaced and crossed out. But to the grace of God, I think we got it. The Apostle Paul writes in his text to the Colossian church in chapter 3:11, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Everyone has a different way of showing compassion. Some people, they just might give you a nice word of comfort. Other people, they'll give you condolences. "I'm sorry for your loss." Others will just say, "My thoughts and prayers are with you," as they just basically continue on with, you know, with their day. Not that it's not genuine, but it's just they give you a nice sentiment and they move on. The Apostle Paul says that as believers, we're supposed to clothe ourselves with compassion. That means wherever we go, we're dressed. That means it's part of our arsenal. We're to be covered in, clothed in compassion. Jesus was actually blanketed in compassion when you look at the things that he did for the people he did it for. When Jesus saw someone hurting, he used it as an opportunity to show the love of God, to show the forgiveness of God, or to show that he was the Messiah. As a Christian, we need to follow that example and take our compassion to that next level. And that's what it's about, what Paul's saying, to clothe yourself in compassion. To Jesus, compassion is an action word. Now, if you take out your outlines, we're going to be talking about a story from John. If you have your Bible, you could open up to John chapter 4. We're going to talk about a woman that Jesus has a conversation with. And in this conversation, Jesus is going to break racial barriers. He's going to break gender barriers. And he's going to show compassion to a woman that to the rest of the world was deemed an outcast to society. I'm just going to read right now quickly from verses 1-7, just to paint the picture of the scene of what's going on. "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go to Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus was tired from his journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had now gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her and said, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" Now, we learn a couple of things in this text. One, in verse 9, we learn that Samaritans and the Jews, the Jewish people of Israel, there's some animosity there. There's a prejudice there. The Jews don't associate with the Samaritans. At the same time, in the first century church, it was politically, or first century Israel, I should say, I'm sorry. It was politically incorrect for a Jewish man to just talk to a woman, engage in idle conversation. But Jesus saw this woman who was a Samaritan and had a conversation with her. That's a double no-no, okay? The reason the Jews didn't associate with Samaritans goes back to the Old Testament when there was two kingdoms. There was a king in Samaria and there was a king in Judea and king of Judah in the south. And the Assyrians raided Israel and they conquered northern Israel. And as a result, they were taken into captivity. And the Jews from the north, they intermarried with the Assyrians, which were Gentiles, and they had kids with them. And their ancestors now were considered half-breeds. When the south was conquered by Babylon, the Jews in the south kept their pedigree and they kept themselves pure. And as a result, they now looked down on the Samaritans as inferior to them because they weren't purebred from the line of David anymore because they had Gentile blood in them. So as a result of this, Jews and the Samaritans, they did not have any communication with each other. They basically hated each other, I guess you would say. There was a prejudice there. So Jesus stopped at this well to rest. He sees this woman. He asks her for a drink of water. And most of the women would come to get water at dawn with these big jugs because, you know, it would be heavy. She came at noon, and we're going to discuss why she came at noon in a few minutes. But she came during the hottest point of the day expecting not to find anyone there, let alone a Jewish man who was about to have a theological conversation with her. When we show compassion, which Jesus is about to show to her, it means coming out of our comfort zones. It means that it may involve going to people or places or talking to someone that we normally may not talk to. Now, let's break it down as far as it's the teamwork. The disciples in verse 2, it tells us they were baptizing people, okay? In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, 12, Mark wrote that when the disciples went out, Jesus is training them now to the lost sheep of Israel. He's only keeping them in Israel. They're not going to Samaria. They're not going to Greece. They're not going to Syria. Just to the lost sheep of Israel right now. He's just training them up for their mission. They're on God's team, okay? But they're still learning. They're still training. It says that they went out and preached that people should repent, and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The disciples now were learning compassion, and they were following the lead that Jesus was giving them. Eventually, now they're just talking to Israel because at this point, they think that the Messiah is just for the Jewish people. But there's going to come a time when these disciples become apostles, and they're going to be forced out of their comfort zone with the Great Commission, and they're going to preach to the ends of the world at that time, healing the sick and driving out demons for the world. On your outline, point number one, compassion has no borders. In the Gospel of Luke 10:27, Jesus answered, love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. This verse is going to lead on to the parable of the Good Samaritan because people are going to ask, well, who's our neighbor? Okay? Your neighbor, basically, Jesus says in the Good Samaritan, it's a Jewish person that gets robbed and beaten and basically left for dead. And the Samaritan, who they don't talk to, comes to his aid. Your neighbor is basically anyone that you come across. You show compassion, basically, to anyone that you come across. There's train tracks 3 blocks up the road. If we see somebody that lives on the other side of the railroad tracks in need, as Christians clothed in compassion, we ought to show them the love of Christ. If we go to the north side of the expressway, and that's not our comfort zone, and we see a person in need, to clothe yourself in compassion means that we show the love of God to the people wherever we come across them, even if it means going to the other side of the expressway. To clothe yourself in compassion means that compassion doesn't end where our zip code ends. We're clothed with us. It goes with us wherever we go. Now, to give an example, I was trying to think of a few things. And back in November of 2019, my mother broke her arm. about a week before Thanksgiving. She ended up having to go to rehab that year, and she spent Thanksgiving in rehab. And I had to make some decisions at that time. My mother had an aid, she kept falling, and I went to go visit her. And when I visited her, now she's been in nursing homes and rehabs before, but something happened. When I looked around, maybe because it was the holidays, I looked around and I realized there's so many people there that had nobody to visit them or see them or talk to them or family or friends or anybody, you know? And my heart went out to them. And God put a tug on my heart at that point. But I was more concerned with, I caught the tug, but I kind of dismissed it because I was more concerned with my next decision. Do I see about making my mother live here or do I bring her home? Am I the aid? Am I able to take care of her? After a couple of days, my mother really got to like it there. I would go to her room. She was never in her room. Sometimes she was in rehab, which is understandable. Other times they go to me, oh, she's on the second floor disco dancing. She's in a wheelchair. How's she disco dancing? I go downstairs and they got the music playing and she's sitting there and she's sitting in her chair with her hands moving. Sometimes they would play old music like Frank Sinatra, the oldies from the 50s. She was making a lot of friends. There was even, I think, some guy on the third floor that liked her. I'm really thinking, I'm not even joking, I'm really thinking that maybe this is a good move, okay? And I prayed about it. This is my mother. I fasted about it. I asked some people in the council of many, there's wisdom. And in all of this, although in my heart I thought it might be a good idea, there was something about it that made me just say, you know what? She's coming home. Not yet. I don't think she's at that point yet. Okay? She came home on February 1st of 2020. In March of 2020, the world turned upside down. I don't have to tell you about, I don't have to get into stories about nursing homes, but I thank God every day.
Amen.
That I took her home. So, compassion. Now, to get back to that stirring in my heart, I put it aside. The world went crazy. Everything closed down. About a month ago, maybe a little less, I was reading an article that had to do with nursing homes. And that thought came back to me. And it came back with a desire that there are still people in these places that have no friends, no family. And I actually even spoke to Pastor Ray about this. And I'm going to see about maybe starting a ministry where we can go and maybe talk to people and be with people and show the compassion of Christ outside. And let me tell you something. This is outside my comfort zone. This is not something that I don't normally do. But when you're on a team, you do what the coach tells you. And God is our coach. And if God is putting it on your heart to come out of your comfort zone, it's not a bad thing. It means you're growing in Christ. Okay? And it means you should want that. You should crave it even more. So that being said, let's see what happens now as this conversation is going on with Jesus and this woman. We left off where Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She's going to reply to him. Verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she said. Jesus said to her, you're right. And when you say you have no husband, the fact is you've had five husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said was quite true. This woman was divorced five times. She must have said, you know what? I'm not going for a sixth. I'm just going to live with this guy. Okay? So, by the first century standards, this woman is considered a harlot. She is not going to be welcome to anybody's dinner table as a debutante. Okay? She was probably ridiculed. She was probably judged. She probably heard it all. And the reason she went to the well at 12 noon was because she didn't think anybody was going to be there. She, in the blazing heat of the day, she would rather carry this jug of water in the 95 or whatever degree day it was than go at 9 o'clock in the morning and have to get the strife that she was going to hear from everybody that basically looked down upon her. Yet, Jesus still speaks to this woman with respect, and he still shows her dignity, okay? My parents divorced when I was 3. In the 70s, it wasn't a normal thing. I could imagine being divorced 5 times in a year 1, okay? So she was, I want to just tell you now, I mean, I came out of a denomination where if you were divorced, you were considered, and you remarried, you were considered an adulterer. The church basically shunned you. And my mother, for many years, she felt that maybe God was mad at her, but she had justifiable reasons for what she did. But maybe she always felt God was mad at her. And I used to try to tell her, Mom, you're under the grace of God. So I want to clarify right now. If anybody here has made mistakes, regrets, you've been divorced 1 time, 100 times, whether it was your fault, whether it was somebody else's fault, whether, I don't care, whatever it is that you may have done in your past, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, every mistake you ever did got nailed to that cross. You are covered in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You are a new creation. Amen. And if the Lord wants to bless you, you receive those blessings, because if Jesus isn't condemning you, there's not a person in this world that has the right to condemn you. Now, when you point your finger in the air, everybody point your finger in the air for a second. Let's have some fun for a second. You got one finger pointing out. You got 3 coming back at you. Before we point at anybody else, we better make sure we're at least 3 times better than them, that they can't say nothing back to us. Because we're not called to judge anybody. We all make bad decisions. We all have hurts, hang-ups, and regrets. Hurting people hurt people. And we're all hurt. We all have some kind of dysfunction in our life. We're all hurting for one reason or another. And I think that's why a lot of times compassion, where we don't know the person or whatever the case may be, gets thrown to the wayside or on the back burner. Because we're quick to judge others when we say put them down, but we fail to see the shortcomings in ourselves. You know, when we see somebody else do wrong, sometimes we're the first ones to yell justice. But when we get caught with our hand in that cookie jar, we want mercy. We want to cover it up. More importantly, we try to justify it. Oh, no, it's a different situation. So in your outline, number 2, compassion does not pass judgment on others. Luke chapter 37. Luke is actually my favorite gospel because I find them to be the most informative. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. To clothe ourselves in compassion means that we are not better than anyone else, and we don't look down on anybody else. Jesus goes on in this conversation to tell the woman, the Samaritan woman, that there's going to come a time when the Jew and the Samaritan, which is basically a Gentile, are going to worship God together in spirit and in truth, which is now indicating that the gospel, that the message of the Messiah is not just for the Jewish people, but it's also for the Gentiles. This is groundbreaking now to the disciples when they come now, because they're about to come on the scene in verse 27. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking to her? Then leaving the water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. While the disciples were buying food, something happened. Now, they're training, they're baptizing people, they're preaching, they're getting ready to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, while they're buying food, something miraculous just happened. This woman, this sinful woman, just became part of God's team. And in her teamwork, as part of God's team, doing her job, to accomplish the same goal, okay, to make the dream work. She ran, left the job behind, ran back to the people that despise her and curse her and whatever the case may be, and said, could this man be the Messiah? Maybe she still had an ounce of doubt, because she said could. But she knew there was something different about this man. This is a man that's Jewish, and he's talking to me when nobody talks to me, the woman's thinking. On top of that, I'm a Samaritan. I mean, and he shouldn't even be talking to me for that alone, never mind being a woman. Yet there's something different about him. And she told everybody, and they all ran out, and they wanted to go see. Now, she became the first evangelist to the Gentiles, to the Samaritans, which were considered Gentiles. God used this woman. Now, a lot of people say, how do you know the Bible is accurate? It's written by man, and they come up with all these things. Well, you got to read between the lines. You can't look at the 21st century and try to judge the first century, okay? In these days, if John was going to write, first of all, John was an apostle. He's an eyewitness. So he's writing eyewitness accounts. This isn't hearsay. That's one. We got an eyewitness account on this statement. Two, if John was going to tell a story, he's not going to pick a woman from Samaria that had five husbands. That don't sell books. That doesn't get ratings. Not in those days. He's going to say a prominent Samaritan met Jesus along the way, and they had this philosophical conversation on theology, and Jesus outwitted him, and he went back, and he was so respected that all the Samaritans came and followed Jesus. That would be more feasible for the first century. But John didn't write that because that's not what happened. What happened was Jesus went to a woman that had five husbands that had a sordid past, and he took her and he made her the star player in this day for his team by becoming an evangelist to witnessing to the Samaritans. That's how we know there's truth to the Gospels, because what the Gospels say would not be talked or written about. It's just not politically correct for that time and that era. So that's how we know. And now point number three in your outline, compassion will motivate teammates to their full potential. This woman was, Jesus spoke to her and gave her self-worth. He made her feel valuable again. He made her feel respected. And this motivated her to want to go and share the gospel with the people that basically didn't talk to her, that ridiculed her. Because that's what happens when you're clothed in compassion, when the Holy Spirit starts to work. That's worshiping God in spirit and truth. When the Holy Spirit brings us together and he envelopes us, that compassion and that joy is going to make you want to share the gospel with others, because you're going to realize God forgave a sinner like me, and he's going to give me a new life. I want to share this love, this mercy with others. And that's what happened with this woman as she ran back to the town. And it all started from Jesus asking her for a drink of water. To clothe yourself in compassion means to encourage others and not discourage others. As we bring the story to a close, it says in chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything that I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them 2 more days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the savior of the world. Like I said, from a simple thing like going to get water, God used this woman for a purpose, and she became an evangelist to the Samaritans. We never know when a simple task that we do could turn into an opportunity for God to use us. But like I said, we need to be willing to go out of our comfort zone. There was prejudice. The Jews didn't speak to the Samaritans. Jesus had to walk north from Judea to get to Galilee. A lot of times the Jews would go around and take the scenic route, not to walk through Samaria. Jesus knew The shortest point between two lines is a straight line. Okay? The shortest way between two points is a straight line. He walked through Samaria, and he had a reason. This was a divine appointment, him stopping at the well. He knew that woman was going to be there, and he was about to let her become part of God's team. We are all part of God's team. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are on God's team. You are forgiven. You are given a new life. I do this thing on Wednesday nights that God put on my heart called Freedom Ministry. Freedom Ministry is a judgment-free zone, and it's about compassion, it's about love, and it's about us overcoming the things that this world put on us that we need to shake to become more Christ-like, to reach our full potential in Christ. It's about getting over selfishness, getting over stubbornness, getting over all these things that hinder us, and allowing Jesus to make us the person that God created us to be, not who the world taught us to be. And that's clothing yourself now with compassion. That's what it says. That's what Paul was telling us in Colossians 3. Teamwork is about working together to accomplish a common goal. Pastor Ray gave an acronym of the word team. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Can you say that with me? Together, everyone accomplishes more. We are all in this together. Okay, we are all in this to help each other. We need to stop shooting and breaking everybody down. And we need to start building each other up as the body of Christ. Because we all have a common enemy, okay? And that enemy is trying to stop us. And he's using us to fight each other with prejudices. And with you live in this zip code, I live in that zip code. We need to put all that aside, okay? And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to really make us into that new creation. Jesus could have easily judged this girl. He was Jesus. He could have said, you reap what you sow. He could have said, you get what you deserve in life. He could have put it down like everyone else. But Jesus showed this woman all the traits that the Apostle Paul tells us to show in Colossians 3:11. He showed compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And the result was, she became a follower of Jesus Christ and part of God's team. As we bring this to a close, I just want to say, fighting fire with fire creates an inferno. You do bad to me, I do bad to you. You do this to me, I do this to you. It just keeps escalating. But if we fight fire with water, if we fight fire with the way Jesus tells us to, with love, with mercy, with compassion, without judging, with seeing past where the act is coming from to the person that's hurting, what's the underlying factor here? And we show that mercy and we show them that compassion, we have the potential of turning an enemy into a friend. Life is short. Let's try to make friends, not enemies. And let's show the love of Christ, because that's how we can apply the attributes of Jesus Christ, and that's the teamwork that leads to salvation. Amen?
Amen.
So with that, I just want to call the worship team up. I think it pretty much says it in a nutshell. So I just want to close in prayer. I want to thank you all for coming. I pray that you were blessed with this message. I pray that you will allow God to use you to show compassion and to put you outside of your comfort zone. It's not a bad thing. It's a sign of growth. It means that God is using you and he's trusting you to take you to that next level in your walk. Thank you for everybody. Amen. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here today. And I just pray that this message would be received, Lord, and that you would just use us to our full potential. In Jesus' name, amen.